In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
Anyway, thank you all, Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President, no president has ever said those words from this podium. No president has ever said those words, and it's about time.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy 100 days!
We made it!
We did it, Joe!
We did it, Joe. We've been on an emotional roller coaster. And
I have.
You know, 100 days, it feels good. How are you feeling?
You know, today is also, I realize, my second anniversary at Betches.
Oh my gosh, I remember.
Wow. It was April 29th because I remember I started. I remember the specific dates
that.
Because I like remember heist exactly how long I was unemployed. I was thinking about it. But yeah, big day. We did it, Amanda. We did it, Joe.
We did it. And nice. We are very lucky to have had you for the past few years. I know personally,
thanks.
No, I mean like on a personal level though, if I didn't have you to like vent about the random headlines that come across my desk throughout the day. Like, I actually don't know how I would be here.
Yeah, the thing about SUP is that, like, yeah, we stop recording, but like this dialogue goes on all day, usually among all of us.
Yeah.
I know. I knew Amanda was for sure watching last night. So I was like, I want to tell someone about what just happened for the.
Brian was sending
address,
me the cutest messages. He was like, Bernie looks so happy. Yeah, that's why I was excited.
He finally got someone to agree to some of his policies. Like,
I know.
At least a shade of them.
Mm-hmm. He looked way happier than 100 years ago when he was pouting. Or 100 years ago.
When he was just like, a twinkle in someone's eye.
100 days ago. Exactly. Today would be an excellent day to pick up either our We Did It Joe crew or We Did It Joe hat. If you're thinking about buying our merch, we've been doing it so far all year, just changing up month to month, actually starting in March with Women's History Month, where we're donating and just dedicating all of our sales in the SUP shop that month. And we'll have all the copy about where it goes and when every month. But this month is Earth Justice because it's Earth Month. So if you're super into that, now is the day to pick up some merch from the shop. Lots of cute stuff in there.
You only have one more day.
Really?
You only have one more Earth.
Yeah, right.
You only
That's
one
it.
More Earth.
I got
more importantly,
I got the one yesterday that has the Betch logo, Betch's new logo thing, but it's an Earth, and it looks amazing in person. It came out really good.
I need to get that. I'm gonna buy it using my discount code.
Yes, exactly. I've almost run out of my discount codes. But I keep testing it anyway. So like we said, all three of us watched Joe Biden's address last night. We actually changed the cold open to today's episode to that. I found it to be an incredibly moving moment when he introduced Madam Speaker and Madam Vice President. I was surprised by how moved I was by that moment. What about you guys?
I was. I for some reason was totally checked out on this. Like I wrote the morning announcements at like 6. I was like, yeah, they'll find out about the address. Maybe the address won't be a big deal. But then it was like, oh, I can't leave this out. Mm. Like this is important. So yeah.
I'm just like, I know I remember like you do get that feeling again of when they first won a bit, you know,
I think
that was really nice. I think that's when it was really affecting me with being Madam Vice President, especially then. And like here and now it's like, oh, it's official. And I'm just wanting it to be an all three women show.
Yeah. But I did think it was good how Biden like actually acknowledged that in like a real way that was humbled. And he's a good guy.
He was genuinely thrilled by it. Like there's a moment where he mouths and you can kind of hear it. He just says like, oh, Nance, God love you.
Yeah.
He's such a good guy.
And she was the first female speaker of the House too. So it's just and the only, I guess, at this up until now. But
you're right, Brian. That image to me was like, I was like, oh shit, Democrats are in charge. Like, we are in charge. We are there. Also, because
don't take it for granted.
I know, exactly. As everybody clearly noticed, the session was a pared down affair without the typical packed theater of a State of the Union. Even though it was just a joint session, usually there would probably be more people there. This was partly because of COVID and partly because of security concerns. Of course, this was the first joint session since January 6th. There were only about 200 guests compared with the typical over 1,000 or so. I actually was reading that Republicans were like not really desperate for invites while Democrats were really trying to get them. I think Schumer gave them out via a lottery, but I don't know. It kind of seemed like our faves were there. So
yeah. How did Ted Cruz get there?
That's a good point. I found that this gave the event a really like interesting energy, at least at the beginning. What did you guys think?
Yeah, what you said was a rehearsal dinner vibe.
Right, yeah. Like, it's just the people that you either love or it's like your in-laws who are just being quiet and you're ignoring them. And like, it was a weird vibe. It's like somebody's always just making a speech.
I feel like it shortened the length of the applause breaks, which I appreciated. Because when you watch those, it is just so fucking ridiculous how often there are those like long applause breaks and they all stand up like... Oh my God. This time I didn't bother me as much. Maybe because they were like going through them quicker because they didn't have to like corral less people. Like they didn't have to stop 1,000 people from clapping or like half of that, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably it. And then you never have that like errant person that's like, I was just going to say the Nicole, because I just mean the other person that's like starts it back up again. Like, I mean it in the best way.
Like Nicole Pellegrino.
Co-worker at Betches. Yes.
Yeah, that is the person in the meeting who we all adore, but who is always the one who is also, what about this? But yeah, I think when you don't
An archetype, but
you know, he was probably missing that person that's always like, the clapping's about to go down. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably had a little bit.
It was long. Here's the thing. Like, I was ready for bed by the
end. So I want to talk about the main critique, which we will get to about the speech, was that it was boring. And I also think it was boring, and we'll get to that. But I want to add a little bit more color that I read this morning in the playbook and that we all, the political playbook, and which we all saw, which was, there's this hilarious image of Joe Manchin. He looked ridiculous. He looked like a rodent that lives there in the night. He was just like sitting in the dark, taking notes. The speech transcript is published. No need to take your notes. Ted Cruz fell asleep. Romney was clapping a lot, like at the appropriate times, as a lot of people remarked, you know, Republicans were not clapping for the Violence Against Women's Act. They were not clapping to reduce child poverty, except for Mitt Romney occasionally did. When Mitt Romney got frosty and started pouting is when we started talking about taxing the rich. And then he started frowning.
Which house?
Exactly. That's what I thought of too. And Lauren Boebert was wrapped in, she was trying to be a troll and wrapped herself in an emergency foil blanket. And Patrick Leahy, which if you don't know who he is, he's literally just the other Bernie Sanders. He's the old senator from Vermont. He was taking pictures.
He's the president pro tempore.
Oh, that's
He's actually kind of important.
He is important. He was taking pictures with a camera, like an actual camera, which I just thought was delightful.
That's quaint. He's 81. So
as we were saying, it's hard to sort of talk style versus substance here, because I think the substance was the style. That's generally Joe Biden's speaking style. It's not the most inspiring way to talk. I wish we could have watched it on 1.5 speed, but that is basically the single critique that the right has. Let's listen to, I put together a little compilation of reactions from Fox News last night and this morning. Let's listen.
Before we get to the socialist, utopian, authoritarian statism of Joe Biden.
He just continues. He wants control of your life. He's going to control how much meat you can eat.
Look, I think the speech tonight, you could sum up in three words. Boring, but radical. The speech by design was calm and dulcet tones. I challenge you to remember a single line from the speech.
I've just got to say, to hear Tim Scott say, America is not a racist country, that is what the American public wants to hear.
There's no doubt that his writers copied a few of President Trump's lines, but I'll tell you what Joe Biden can't copy, President Trump's charisma.
Yeah, but it's like he's a corpse. I mean, you can't. It's unwatchable.
You know, I think this is going to be a popular speech with the American public.
That at the end there was Chris Wallace, who, I mean, some could argue has a brain and can process accurate information, but that was a mix of Kayleigh McEnany, Stephen Miller. All the only critique they had was that they did not find it to be riveting. I do remember multiple lines from the speech, notably trickle down and not, economics does not work. When I heard Ted Cruz say that, I was like, I remember a bunch of lines.
Yeah, I was like, I do remember a bunch of lines. And I also think, like, I think it was what people wanted. Like, people want to know, what are you going to do to solve the issues that are happening right now? We are, you know, the worst, one of the worst unemployment times ever. We, you know, the climate is changing. People are starting to really recognize it across the aisle even now. And especially, like, voters. And people, are sick and tired of Trump saying crazy shit, and we're sick and tired of it. And I think it was what people wanted. I think people wanted an adult in the room telling us how they're going to, what they're going to do. Cause I just I think about all the Trump speeches and I always came back from it. That was fucking crazy. But I didn't know what they wanted to do. I never felt like they had a plan for anything. And this was here's the plan for this. Here's a plan for that. Here's a plan for this, that, that, and this. And I think that is really effective. That's what they're supposed to be doing, is making plans and doing shit.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to remember that the Republicans don't have an agenda. Their only agenda is to get richer for themselves and their small cohort of donors, and to essentially ignore everyone else. And that's and therefore their tactics are fully obstructionist. Tim Scott's response wasn't we don't think you should do this. We think you should do. It wasn't okay, we don't think we should do universal daycare. We think we should do larger tax credits. If there would be an actual response to what Biden suggested, that would maybe be a functioning democracy, which we're not in. So it's really it's just sort of to think that they're going to make any sort of good faith policy argument is just, we're so far past that.
Yeah, I think that's the question I wanted to ask you both. We can just address Tim Scott's response right now, which my sense from it was that he did not react bit by bit to these. He made a lot of points, but did any of them come together in a compelling narrative about what their party stands for?
What I got from that was a culture war commentary. He's basically trying to be the Republican Party isn't racist. The Democratic Party is racist. And if it weren't for Republicans helping me, I would not I would not be here. And then he had this weird false equivalence of the coronavirus pandemic with his own childhood. And I'm just you weren't. This doesn't make any sense.
It's a rebuttal that doesn't make sense. You're saying, because they have no agenda. And if to truly rebut what Joe Biden said would be to rebut it with what you plan on doing, as opposed to just being identity politics and all of this shit. That clip we just listened to when they talk about the meat in your mouth, Joe Biden wants to take the meat out of your mouth. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you think people are
they already disproved that. Fox had to post a retraction saying that that's not true. But Kevin McCarthy repeating it.
We have an obesity problem in this country. Maybe we should take some meat out of people's mouths. Come on. Jesus.
I don't think meat's the problem. I think it's overly processed and factory foods that if you look at the ingredients in on food deserts, the fact that if you drive through the country, you can't get any fucking food.
Exactly. I've driven cross country twice, and the only places to stop are McDonald's, Applebee's. Yeah. It's crazy.
Iowa, there is most of the state of Iowa does not have foods that you can stop for.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of EBT stuff is not, you can't really get fruits and vegetables. And with WIC and stuff, they basically can police what you get. And I would love to talk to Kevin McCarthy about how to improve Americans' diets to make them more nutritious and wholesome. I don't really think that is his objective. But like you said,
when Michelle Obama tried to do that, they were a liberal. They're eating arugula. You're going to have to eat arugula.
No, Michelle Obama. She's just arugula girl.
Oh, nice.
That was good, Amanda.
That was good.
I appreciate that.
I've used it before just about myself. Anyway.
Okay, fine.
No, as you said with the Tim Scott thing, he is obviously the only Black Republican in the Senate, maybe one of like a dozen Black Republicans overall. I don't know. I guess there's more than that. But there was this sort of like implicit, keep the government out of our lives and that's how we can all thrive. They offered no actual solutions and they just framed, it was strange because he framed Biden's ideas as wasteful spending, but did not dispute the idea that the government should be spending to help the American people. He was like, this is wasteful. We should do less wasteful spending. I would love to hear what they have in mind for that, but he did not say anything. And another thing that stood out for me was that he tried to frame the voting rights bill moving through Congress basically as like an insult to the civil rights movement, and that any attempt by Democrats to make it seem like this is a continuation of the work done in the 1960s of a process that is incomplete is a bad faith move. And again, offered no reason for that other than
there's no logic. Yeah, it's just words. There's no logic.
Other than I guess the sinister logic is that they just assume that if Tim Scott says it, people that want to believe it will believe it's true.
Yeah. You could say they leave Tim Scott out to dry and trot him out when they need to make a point.
I don't think he's there to get Black people to vote for Republicans. I think he was there to make white people feel better about themselves. Yes. You know, that's how what I was trying to say the other day about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Is like I could see them sort of pushing her Republican Party to make the Republican Party voters feel better about voting Republican because they're like, well, they can't be that anti-trans because there's Caitlyn Jenner.
Right. Like, we're not bigots. Really what it is. It's like trying to create a permission structure for people who don't want to maybe feel bigoted to allow themselves to vote for the bigoted party.
And that's exactly what Kayleigh McEnany said in that clip. She said, he said that it's not a racist country and that's what the American public wants to hear. She followed that up by saying, our original sin does not have to stay with us forever.
No, it doesn't.
That's
if you rectify it.
Excellent.
Not according to Christians. What are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, Kayleigh, come on. She definitely probably has like a cross tattooed on her like hip bone or something. She seems like the type. So let's address Joe Biden's speech, The Substance. The speech, to me, it was basically an appeal to the American people to trust him to solve our nation's most chronic problems. He hyped how much the country has accomplished in his first 100 days, during which we exceeded 200 million shots. As of this morning, half of American adults have received a dose. The economy has made, we're not looking amazing, but we're looking like we're on a path back to before the pandemic began. And that is largely thanks to the $1.9 trillion stimulus. I should hope so. That's a lot of money. These things are all a lot of money. So it's really fantastic to see that investing this kind of money, which we have not been able to do before, does have a really healthy return. This morning, news broke that the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits, it dropped by 13,000 last week to around 550,000, which the point of that is that it's the lowest level since the pandemic hit last March. It is not yet where we were at pre-pandemic levels, but it suggests that that's the path that we're on. So the right has been calling Biden's agenda a progressive wish list. My instinct is always to be like, no, it's not. But I'm kind of like, maybe it is. And is that, that's fine.
It is. And the reason I do kind of perceive it that way is because like, as we were watching, it did sort of start to feel a bit laundry listy. Like you thought it was going to be over. And then it's like, he's like, and voting rights and the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. And it's like, okay, it's a progressive wish list, but I think you were talking about this. It must've been Tuesday, where the problems are so deep and structural. And we literally have gone through a transformative time in the economy with the pandemic, we're barely even caught up to like the internet age, the government wise. So it's like, we need to do some big things to catch up to like the current moment. And I mean, there's so many areas in which this needs to happen, but So yeah, it's a little bit of a progressive wish list, and I'm not mad. I'm like, great, we need to do something.
If there's ever a time to propose and make big structural change, it is now. And it's always in these times of, you know, war, pretty much. Like, you know, you can compare what we went through the past year to a wartime. And that's like, it's like FDR shit. It's like, get this stuff. You have to get the big stuff going now because it is so evident how much you need stuff like this.
Exactly. It's true.
And we don't call Social Security, like all the things that were these big things that happened, like we don't call that radical stuff now. It just is what it is, you know, because it was done. So, you know, 10, 20 years from now, it is what it is.
Yeah. The idea of a weekend was once radical. So everyone can shove it with their radical bullshit. Like it's only radical if the people in charge don't want it to happen. I think it's pretty radical to just like to cut taxes for the rich and the fact that Apple doesn't pay any taxes. Like that's pretty radical to me.
Yeah. I think that's what I think Biden sort of got at this, but I wanted him to get out more, which is basically that like there is enough money in this country to do all this. There is plenty. The scarcity problem that Republicans have created is fake because there is plenty of money. But like you said, like at one point, progressives like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were just like, they were beaming. There was a funny clip of Elizabeth Warren. Like, I can't really explain it, but like as Biden was like lifting off the thing, she was just like, yes, she was like fist bumping and like shaking her. Like she couldn't believe what she was hearing. And that's her, that's them. Like they really were such a huge part of the transition. And I just can't believe that they designed all of these policies in that transition. And like, we're ready to go. And 100 days in, we have, I mean, $6 trillion worth of spending, which is a lot in 3 months to consider, but
it's amazing what you can do when you're not concerned with only you getting richer.
Yeah. And I think it shows like, I really like, I always want to try and stay away from like, you know, like putting politicians on a pedestal, but it does show how good, like a good boss is when they know that other people are good at what they do and they just, they have them do it regardless of like his competitors, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Like he knows that they like good bosses hire good people. And like, we did not have that for the past 4 years and you let them take credit for it and you let them shine for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why everyone liked him. Like you, like the idea of seeing Bernie being like so happy and excited like a year ago when they was, it's pretty unbelievable.
It's unbelievable at all. I've never seen him that happy.
And I think that shows, it says a lot about the way the Biden administration is running their operation, that they have Bernie Sanders flipping so excited about what's happening.
Right. The thing about Joe Biden that for some reason I tend to like forget because he looks like an old stodgy conservative is like, he's a Democrat. He favors democratic principles. He actually has evolved along with the party and that direction. And he does seem humble. Like I am not, like you said, Brian, like he knows that the party didn't elect him because of him. They weren't like, I love Joe Biden. I'm going to trust all of Joe Biden's whims and what his personal beliefs and persuasions are. He knows that like progressives elected him because he was the candidate and it was a fascist. And he knows that like he owes it to them. And it's, I don't know why it is still surprising to see it all happen, but it's very surprising.
Well, I think what's surprising is not necessarily like the policy changes he's made. I think that for a very long time, we haven't had like real leaders who are willing to sort of like not make it all about them. And who are willing to sacrifice, or I don't even want to say sacrifice, willing to, like you said, like give credit to other people, willing to negotiate with other people. You can even see like when he sort like the way he interacts with the other senators, like he is I mean, this is totally unobjective journalism, but like he is a guy with a good character. And that matters ultimately for leadership so much more than like skill or being like the smartest or having the best policy, because like you can get the best policy, but what he does is so different and it makes it easier to embrace him because he's not like this like hardline, arrogant guy. And I just think he's like literally exactly what we need in presidents in general, like that type of character, like deeply good, almost like old school character.
Well, like they should be out for, they should be a public servant. They shouldn't be a individual trying to make to better themselves and the people in their similar situations. Like it seems like he wants to actually pass laws that will help people.
Imagine that.
He cares about the differences. Like, I think even with like a lot of past presidents, like, yes, they cared maybe about like, maybe Bill Clinton cared about like most people, but it really does feel like Joe Biden actually cares about everybody. And he sees the country as like, you're only as strong as your weakest or your most downtrodden or most vulnerable people. And I think he really understands that. And therefore he is and because he actually believes it in his heart, is able to project that care. So you actually like want to hear what he's saying. So.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like in his administration, his actions have spoken better than his words, because he doesn't always speak amazingly when he talks about race or when he talks about gender. I think he hasn't had, I don't know if he's had any sexuality gaffes, but probably, but he's taking the actions and letting other people do the speaking and just doing what he does best, which is like, I saw Al Sharpton was saying this morning that like Joe Biden doesn't try to be an amazing orator. He knows that's not his strength. Like, he just wants to get the facts out. And when he does, like you said, right, it makes sense. It was a little laundry listy, but it was like, and because of A, we can do B. So he sort of formally introduced a huge part of the upcoming agenda last night. And that's the American Families Plan. These plans are hard to differentiate because they're all like American something, like American unimpeachable noun plan, whether it's jobs, rescue, like you can't argue with it.
American Rainbows Plan.
So the plan would, I think we talked about this on a show earlier this week, so we won't get too in the weeds, but the main headlines are that it expands free education for kids to pre-K, mandates paid parental leave, and allows for free community college. So let's listen to how he framed this.
When this nation made 12 years of public education universal in the last century, it made us the best educated, best prepared nation in the world. It's, I believe, the overwhelming reason that propelled us to where we got in the 20th century. But the world's caught up or catching up. They're not waiting. I would say parenthetically, if we were sitting down, we've set a bipartisan committee together and said, okay, we're going to decide what we do in terms of government providing for free education. I wonder whether we'd think, as we did in the 20th century, that 12 years is enough in the 21st century. I doubt it. 12 years is no longer enough today to compete with the rest of the world in the 21st century. That's why my American Families Plan guarantees 4 additional years of public education for every person in America, starting as early as we can.
So, Brian, this reminded me of the point that you made on, I think, Monday's podcast, which was that when did we all decide, like at some point we decided that education was necessary and we've just never revisited that concept. I thought, did you think he effectively got that across?
I think he did, because he talked about how when this system was established, this is what was necessary to survive in the world, to get a job. And obviously now that has changed. Like, but I also thought what was really effective too is that when he talked about creating all these jobs, he even pointed out, and you don't need a continuing education for these jobs. Like, you are capable, you are qualified for these jobs. So I think both are really important. That, you know, we need to not require these further education degrees for certain jobs, like, you know, and also if you do need it, you need to be able to easily get one in this country. So I think he did a good job explaining that, for sure.
Yeah. The basis of this, he went on to say, was that a bunch of studies show that children who go to school earlier, and he made a point of specifying not daycare, school, like school when you're a little kid, you're much more likely to graduate from high school. This plan would also add 2 free years of community college. So the idea is that, like, okay, you can get people much more likely to graduate high school, and then maybe those people are much more likely to be able to go to community college and then get some sort of advanced or associate degree that sets them up with a much better income than they should have otherwise. And I think that's such an important, like, consideration, is that a lot of people took on a lot of student debt because they were just sort of lied to and misled about the opportunities that do exist with certain types of degrees. Like we all of us grew up like you have to go to college for 4 years. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people doing jobs that they didn't need to go to college for 4 years, but they are paying back debt.
Well, something that's like something interesting, a friend of mine works for Verizon, and we were talking about like diversity pipelines and how like it's obviously like challenging. And she was saying how like one of the things that works is getting rid of the college degree requirement, unless you're like obviously like a doctor or a lawyer. But like, you know, even like, you know, it's just if you get rid of that, it helps open things up so much more to people because of kind of like that whole like what happened with the student loans and like screwing people into thinking like they need this or that education and then they maybe can get a job, maybe they can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, think about like Caitlin has said it on the podcast, like Caitlin started college, but she did not finish. I would hire Caitlin for any job I ever had open.
Her analysis of the state of this thing last night was so good. It's like what she's thinking as she's watching the speech. I'm thinking like, wow, they have a nice Jill. I really like Jill Biden's dress. Like literally like that's like what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, Joe's so cute. Caitlin's is like
well, like I've been insane. Saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like incredibly detailed, thoughtful analysis that like you're not getting on the cable news channels.
No.
Yeah.
You don't need college to be smart.
No. Exactly.
I have a question. This is a little off topic, but do you think it's weird when people put their GPA on their resume?
Yeah, I do. Unless they are literally right out of college. Unless it's an entry level job, like literally you just graduated. That's the only time I would say it makes sense because then it kind of shows like, oh, you worked harder, you didn't. But after your first job, no.
Yeah, we had a job opening at Betches and someone sent me their resume and it was like for like a higher up job and they had their GPA on it. I was like, what?
Why, also, why is yeah, that no. There?
How long
it does
ago?
Not need to be there.
Like 8 years ago.
Especially if it's like a 4.0. If it's less than a 4.0, don't put it on there.
Right. If you have a 4.0, maybe you could keep it on for your second job.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You work so hard and that's the only like, and literally.
But what do you guys think Joe Biden's GPA was?
3-4.
He's definitely got 3-4 energy.
He has maybe strong like 3-4 energy.
Strong 3-4 energy. Maybe 3-7.
Oh, this is so fun. Should we guess?
We should maybe. Oh, that would be a fun TikTok. We just guess the college GPAs. They might be out there. I mean, we still don't know Donald Trump's.
What was Obama's? I bet his was pretty good. He has three like.
It had to be good.
He has like 3.89 energy.
He does, but he talks about like, wasn't he like not as serious about school as a teenager? He's
no,
like,
I'm talking about college.
College. Well, I identify with Obama because we both did poorly in high school and then had to transfer to Columbia. So,
oh no. But again, on your resume, the only thing.
Exactly. There's just one school. The degree. I don't put the other one.
Right. No one's telling their whole story. Like, well, I had a C first semester. Like, no one cares.
Yeah. So I want to end just on how we would pay for all of this, because that is the huge hurdle. That's what Republicans are bringing up. And I think it is a big barrier for Americans who are hearing numbers like this and are like, oh my God, like we just had a pandemic. Who's going to pay for this and how? Because nobody has any money to spare and nobody really wants to be taxed more. This plan would also cost $1 trillion in change. At this point, as I mentioned, Biden's agenda costs about $6 trillion. That is stuff we've already spent and he wants to spend. He emphasized straight up that Wall Street needs to pay for this. It needs to play its part. These are now my words, but Wall Street needs to contribute to society. Joe Biden said outright, trickle down economics does not work. It's never worked, which was a pretty shocking sentence to hear from a president, even though it's true. Economists have said this for ages. My question is, before we move to our final topic today, is do you think that Biden has effectively conveyed to the middle class that you will not be asked to pay for these things? You can have these amazing things without having to pay for them. There is plenty of money from rich people to pay for them. And what will it take to get that through? Or does it matter?
It definitely matters. Absolutely matters. Because the Republicans want to tell you that you're paying for it, no matter what level you're at. I think that message could be more effective. I think that's like one thing that needs to be drilled into people's heads. Like, you are not paying for it. Like, it is the companies that are paying for it. Also, I know you talked about this also on Tuesday, is they want to give $80 billion to the IRS to collect the money that's owed. Apparently that could raise I heard Andrew Ross Sorkin say that that could raise $600 billion a year. So
A listener sent me a really good article to follow up on that. I'm glad we brought this up because for every $1 the IRS spends on that effort, they recover $7, $5 to $7.
Oh, wow.
So it's huge, huge.
Well, and this also with, you know, the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's like corporate tax around the world. I think that's, he didn't obviously didn't get into that, but I think that plays a part in making sure. Well, he did talk about people, rich people and corporations put their money in offshore bank accounts to not have to pay taxes on it. They want to stop that. And that's going to be huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, they need to come up with like a jingle or something. Like, so we all
know. You're not going to pay. You're not going to pay. It's going to be Jeff Bezos and FedEx.
How could you argue with that?
And the Waltons.
I
also think what he said, like this is like how he addressed like the trans community was really important. Because, you know, Republicans are really using them as the other right now and to make people fearful. And I was just like, and people like, obviously his words need to have actions attached to them. But he said, it's like young people, like the president has your back. And I was just thinking like, that's so powerful because, you know, trans kids are most likely to commit suicide. And I was thinking like, there's probably some young kid, he could have saved a bunch of lives just by saying that. So
totally. Charlotte Clymer tweeted that a few times. Like you can't overstate how many lives have been saved by that. And it is so important that the president, the citizens feel like the president has your back. And if you know that, that the president has the back of the most vulnerable people, then he probably will have your back. And like, it was just so lovely when he said that.
And it just felt like such a explicit rebuke to Trump. The president has your back. Like, the president has your back now. It's over. You're going to be okay. Which, of course, needs to be matched with action. I want to address one final top line headline today in our last few minutes, because we just can't not. It also involves where the former president was during the joint address last night. So yesterday, federal investigators raided the Manhattan home and office of Rudy Giuliani. The Justice Department is investigating him for improperly disclosed relationships with foreign and government officials. Basically, he just like coordinated with them and you have to register to do that. But this is probably part of the broader probe into Giuliani's dealings in Ukraine during the Trump presidency. Trump went on Fox News, I believe this morning, to comment on this. And he said, it's like so unfair. he elaborated, added some words to this vocabulary. He said, it's like so unfair and such a double standard I don't think anybody's ever seen it before. Nobody's ever seen it before.
I hate even talking about him. I feel like I'm gonna throw up.
I know, exactly. I wanted to meme that, but I was like, I'm not gonna do it because he's not funny.
I shared this Oscars thing and I kind of regret doing it.
No, I liked that.
It was funny, but I regret it because I worry that we're bringing us back. I worry that it brought us back to a little 2014 energy of like, oh, how funny and stupid.
Yeah.
It was a nice release when he was in power. Like, it felt good, but now I don't think you're right. It'll sort of soften him again as being this idiot.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think the fact that the federal investigators were able to get a warrant to raid the Manhattan home of Rudy Giuliani is a lot. So it's like they have something because they were able to get in there. You have to have a good reason to be able to raid a lawyer's apartment,
especially from someone who they know that what they do with him will make a huge splash. Like, it's I hate to say it, but like politically, it is a bad look because it looks like you're investigating your enemies. And I mean, I don't think they would do it unless like they are pretty sure that he is going to be convicted of a crime.
Yeah, this morning, Jen Psaki was on CNN and they asked her, did you know that the DOJ was going to do this? She was like, no, that's the point. We have nothing to do with what they do. They do what they want. So this will be a fun story to watch. That's our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.